Alexandra Strelitzky is a Montreal-based composer and pianist. Her latest, as mentioned, is Neo Romance, the long-awaited follow-up album to 2018's Inscape. Alexandra has been the queen of the Canadian charts for the last half dozen years with her breakout Inscape recording that still lands in the top 10 regularly along with her previous effort, Pianoscope, from 2010. Her pieces have been used in award-winning film and television programs like Dallas Buyers Club, Demolition, and Big Little Lies. More recently, Strelitzky has been covered by other artists like Lavinia Meyer, the talented European harpist. Her records have gone platinum, won a Juno, and have gulped hundreds of millions of streams online. For Neo Romance, she looked at the Romantic composers and Romanticism and wondered what the spirit of that movement means in the modern context. She looked to step away from the neoclassical movement to become more planted in the Romantic tradition. She traced her roots in Jewish Poland and France and landed in her ancestral home of the Netherlands to write this record in Rotterdam. Last week, Alexandra Strelitzky made her second visit to Toronto this year to attend the Toronto International Film Festival. The French-Canadian star has composed her first original score for the Canadian-Polish historical drama Irina's Vow, which premiered at TIFF several weekends ago. And just yesterday, it was announced that Alexandra Strelitzky will return once again to Toronto for a special concert at Trinity St. Paul's Centre on Saturday, January 13th, 2024. For this interview, we sat down at an Italian restaurant across from all the Toronto International Film Festival action for our first conversation since 2019. Alexandra Strelitzky, it is very good to see you.
Very good to see you as
well. Where are we?
Yeah, we're at TIFF. This is my first TIFF. Super happy to be here.
Yeah. It is? This is your first time?
It is.
All right. Well, I have a long list of questions, but I'll start with talking about film because this is something that's been a part of your career in one way or another, whether it's been pieces that have been written for a recording, written for an album, and then they get used in a TV commercial, they get used in a TV series or a film trailer or what have you, and that's been well documented. So it felt like a soundtrack was inevitable. I think if people listen to your records, and it seems like everybody does, that your work can be very cinematic. And so tell me about the projects that have been coming your way and why you chose this one.
So I had been doing, you know, work in film kind of more on the low profile for a while. I mean, I worked 15 years in a studio working in advertisement mainly.
I remember that.
Yeah.
We talked about that during the podcast.
Right. Yeah. But I also did documentaries and like long formats. I did an indie Canadian film.
Yeah.
Kind of less known, but still. So I've always kind of done it on the side. I had never had the chance to have any time since I launched Inscape. I was more like on tour and I was traveling a lot. So, you know, you need to really dedicate yourself at least minimum a month, like full on,
where you're just thinking about that film.
Just thinking, and you need to be thinking even prior to that, from the scenario 6 months prior. You know, it needs to inhabit you, a film. So I never had the chance to really take the time to do that since 2018. So this one came upon. I hesitated a lot because also schedule, but I just love the team. I love Louise Archambault. The name is the director. She's a wonderful lady, and she just got me enthusiastic about it. Also, it's the story. You know, I like to tell stories, whether when people are listening to my album, I like the idea that they're telling their own stories, you know. I like the film idea in a reverse position as well, whereas, you know, you're listening to an album, you're imagining all these things and you're actually creating the film in your head, right? But so Louise got me in the story of Irina Gut. She was a Polish nurse. And she was basically a resistance, you know, worker during World War II. She hid Jews in the house of the Nazi officer that she worked for. So she was very, you know, very courageous, very resilient woman. And it's, you know, it's also a reflection on seeing how Polish people were also victims of this war, very much
huge.
So.
I mean,
huge.
There may not be another country more affected, really.
It's incredible. Like, Poland's history is just a history of being invaded from one side or the other.
Yeah.
And so I have origins, also Polish roots. So I thought it was also a nice way to kind of delve into that. And I have been inspired by that in this new record that I launched. So it was kind of a good tie-in.
So let's talk a little bit about Neo-Romance, because congratulations, number one on the Canadian chart ever since it was released.
Really? Wow.
I would say.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. But a five-year term between, I mean, you and I got together in 2019.
Yeah, yeah.
Inscape was still fairly fresh.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times I said on the radio, well, there might be something in the works. I'm here. I'm seeing something on social media, what have you.
Yeah.
And finally, we got it this year.
Yeah.
So tell me about that. Putting space between the last record and then thinking what this new record would be, and then the act of recording it. And
yeah, I mean, I guess I'm still kind of old school in that sense that I, you know, take 3 years at least between my records. I like for the record to have a story, like really an artistic standpoint, something that I want to say also when I release it. And for that, for me, it needs to all tie in. I mean, nowadays we're more in an era of releasing songs, which is great too. And I mean, I'll do that myself.
Sure. I think we got the Hills first, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, sure. Labels like to do this too. They like to launch singles,
sure.
And they had me launch five, I think, before New Orleans.
It was great. First couple singles.
Yeah, and now we're going to continue launching some stuff and keep everything, you know, up and going, and new material too, because I play live also some songs that haven't been released. So, you know, we might go for that. But yeah, I mean, I like to take my time if I can. You know, we don't anymore do that so much. But
did you want to define it in a way that felt different from Inscape? Were you looking to move away in a certain way?
Yeah, I think you always have to move a little bit. I don't think you can get stuck in... You're going to get bored with your own material if you do that as an artist. But I also... I'm never looking for breaking the listening quality. I'm kind of respecting the mood that me and my fans are in and what people are responding to and what I'm responding to. Because what I do is just very intuitive. I play the piano for my own anxiety to get better. And then I just share it.
Yeah.
You know,
and help everybody else with their anxieties too. Right.
Yeah, exactly. And then if it helps people, then good, you know. So, but on Neo-Romance, what I want, I mean, I was in a new relationship. I was in Europe. I was on my ancestry traces, Jewish, European musicians.
Right.
And I was, you know, looking in this whole family history. So I was inspired by that. I was also inspired by just new love, you know, and this risk of new love. Because when you've had old love, you know, it hurts like a hell when the old love goes away. Right?
I know, it makes it hard.
Of course,
again.
I'm mid-30s, you know.
Right.
And so I was interested in that little, this, you know, very, very huge zone of vulnerability you have within yourself. And how can that express in music? You know, you need strength, but you also need openness. And so that's really what was driving the record.
And I know, I mean, this was a liner note situation, but, you know, the term neoclassical gets thrown around a lot. And this is neo-romance. And you were looking to the romantics. You were looking to the 19th century.
But I think I feel like a romantic. It's kind of more like labeling something that I think it already is.
Right.
Because, you know, romantics were driven by imagination. They were driven by emotion, by expressing an individual voice in the world. I think that's just what I do. It feels just very natural. And I like the idea of romance also as a whole, you know, of romanticizing and for better and for worse, you know.
I like a big pink record too.
Yeah. Pink and greenish.
Pink and greenish.
It kind of clashes two together.
It was quite a statement, I felt.
Yeah.
And I think Inscape had a really fascinating cover, but this one was quite bold. Also just lent really well to the vinyl release and so on. Is that something you like, to make sure
totally.
That there's that vinyl component?
I love
component?
It. I mean, for me, it was about neo-romance, the word. It was about what it means to be a neo-romantic in modern times, which is hard. It's really hard to be a dreamer in today's world, right? We're all, you know, very concerned with the state of the world, the climate and everything, and so that's what I like. I'm like, hey, what if, you know, we put a big bright green pink shirt with the branding of being a dreamer, also with clashing colors, because there is this underlying, I'm a dreamer but I'm not an idiot. And I like the word, you know, beginning in French, you know, neo-romance. I was like, when it came up, I was like, what do you think about neo-romance? I was talking to my friend who does scenography for me too. And he's like, well, it could sound like a romantic porn novel in a grocery store or like a statement. And I'm like, great. I love it. I love that it sits in between.
I mean, one of the things that sticks out on this record is other people, some ensemble work on this Elegy, for example.
Yeah.
And that was a choice.
Absolutely conscious choice. I mean, as I was saying, I was looking into my family history and I found lots of them were conductors and violinists, you know, Jewish artists moving around in Europe. And I got very, you know, inspired of telling that story too, in my own roots. And I met with these, they're Polish, they're based in Brussels, but they're called the Karski Quartet. I actually worked with three of them only because one of them had a kid, and also I wanted to write for a trio,
right,
not a quartet.
Okay, well, that worked out then.
It worked out. And now I go on tour with two of them. They're twin sisters, Natalia and Julia Kotarba, and they're great. Yeah. I've been having so much fun with them, both musically and on a friendship level. And yeah, I want to do more of that. I get very inspired.
It's interesting to me because I think Inscape, you were still on a certain track. I think you've always had a lot on the go, but Inscape was still very personal to you. Your name wasn't in the world the same way it is now. Here we are, you've got a soundtrack coming out for a film at TIFF. You've got Neo-Romance, which has just been solid at number one on the Canadian charts ever since it arrived. So even though you still could give yourself as much time as you want to create, I think that still is at the back of your brain, that there's these expectations. You've got a record company that's, you know, obviously got a going concern with what's happening with you. I mean, do you have to compartmentalize
that
a little?
You know, you do have to compartmentalize. But also, it keeps me sane, though.
Right.
What keeps me the most sane as a person, as an artist, is to be home and creating something.
Right.
That's my balance. Like, if I lose that and I'm just into, you know, industry things and marketing and shaking hands and stuff, I get lost.
But is there a pressure to produce a little more?
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. I mean, it's not a pressure. No one in my team will put pressure on me. If I say, guys, nothing is happening, they're going to all say, fine.
Right.
But of course, there's people you have to keep motivated, you know? You're working with individuals that are passionate.
Yeah.
So when you have passionate people, you have to fuel them with something that they can spread the word of, you know?
Right.
So it's more how I see the situation.
You've been on tour a lot. There was the initial tour for this record. It seems like there's a lot of Quebec. There's been Europe. And it looks like there's been some really special opportunities that are unique to this point in your career.
Yeah, of course.
I'd love to hear a highlight or two.
Yeah, well, in Quebec, of course, I have a big fan base there, and people are showing up, and so it gives us a great freedom. I say we because I have a show producer who's also very...
Seems like bigger venues and so on.
Huge venues.
Yeah.
Like, it's 3,000 kind of minimum, you know, in big shows. Like, I'm going to play like 1,000, but it doesn't go to, you know, less than that, which is not the case in Europe, for instance. It's very, very different. So we have the luxury of playing around with it. For instance, this summer we hosted like an event. I chose the wine, I chose the food. It was outside. Chose the first, the opening act, to really make like something special that has the intention that I want to put
forward. That's the dream.
Like, it's the dream.
That was the dream.
It's absolute dream. I mean, I spent the week in gratefulness, to be honest. I was looking at my production manager. He was like organizing a plate of cold meat, and I was crying on the third night because I was like, it's so beautiful.
Right.
You know?
It is. What is the next year looking like for you? Is it sort of... Keep the
touring
going.
Yeah, lots of touring going on.
Yeah.
Also, some songs are going to be out. Maybe a new film project if that comes along, but there's a big strike now, so it's more chill on that
Tricky.
Level. Trickier.
Yeah,
but I did get an agent in LA, very, very, very good guy.
Wow.
Super excited about that.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah,
wow.
So I'm sure more of that coming up and lots of shows, yeah.
I love this record, and we have about three or four pieces we're playing from it pretty regularly, but the one that sticks out to me that was the perfect Strelitzky piece in my mind was Lumiere. I just loved it. I just really loved it.
Interesting.
And there's something about it that it's quiet, it's hopeful, it can be a little sad in moments.
It has a lot of sections.
Yeah, and it's everything that you do so well, and I thought I'd ask you, as we maybe play it here, a few thoughts on that particular piece.
It's interesting you talk to me about that piece. I know what you mean in the sense that it has, on my first record, Pianoscope, I used to, you know, start out a riff, go somewhere else, really like tell a story that goes in very different places in one piece.
Right.
And I think Lumiere does that. I see it a bit like your grandpa opens a book and he starts to tell you a story, and then suddenly it goes very different places. And yeah, it's a fantasy piece for me.
Yeah.
And I got inspired also by the French salons. That's what I told my musicians. I'm like, imagine you're very, you know, you're Voltaire, and you're putting on this kind of snobbish attitude, always with light and a bit of a smile. And it's a fun piece to me.
And I love the salons just in general as a piece of inspiration, because
for sure
I'm excited for you today. What are you expecting for
I have no idea what to expect.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never sat in a room with people that are looking at a film that I've scored. This is the first time this happens, but I mean, I'm here, I have less pressure, so much less pressure than anything else I do. I just have to take a picture, sit and watch a movie, which is like overall pretty cool. I mean, the director and the actors have more pressure today than me, so I'm just gonna try to enjoy it. And I'm meeting up with friends. I know a lot of people from also from Quebec cinema industry that are here, and
you're
lovely
right about
people
that.
And so I hope we
all
meet
my
up
interviews
later.
Are with people from Quebec this
yeah,
week.
Yeah, really.
So, yeah. It's
yeah. Well, I hope we can all meet up later and have fun.
Alexandra Strelitzky, just great to be with you.
Thank you so
again.
Much for
Thank
having
you.
Me again.